The final one-on-one matchup in the White House race actually got serious for a bit about issues affecting our wallets. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. There is plenty to take in from last night's presidential debate, but we want to focus in on what Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton had to say about economics, money, and jobs. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us live from Washington to do that. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Mark.
So lots of economics topics coming up last night, which made it a very interesting watch from our perspective at Marketplace. What do they have to say about job creation?
Well, the candidates really reveal that they have two different strategies for job creation that are quite different. Donald Trump, the Republican nominee, wants to rely on things like big tax cuts and fewer regulations, while Clinton is targeting her programs at what she says will boost the middle class. Both candidates actually agree on things like infrastructure investment. They want that to be a big part of their jobs plan, although Clinton has a bit more specifics in the plans that she's released on that.
Okay, and what did Donald Trump have to say about his ideas on creating jobs?
So when pressed on this issue by the moderator, Donald Trump really focused on trade, heavily criticizing trade deals like NAFTA.
I am going to renegotiate NAFTA, and if I can't make a great deal, then we're going to terminate NAFTA and we're going to create new deals. We're going to have trade, but we're going to terminate it. We're going to make a great trade deal. And if we can't, we're going to do it. We're going to go a separate way because it has been a disaster.
He says fixing those kinds of trade deals will encourage businesses to create more jobs, which will then help the broader economy. Now, Trump has consistently blasted Hillary Clinton on NAFTA, as well as her changed position on another trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which both of the candidates say they oppose.
And trade deals have been a big theme going back through the primary for Clinton. How did she deal with that last night?
She actually returned to her stump speech lines that she will put all trade deals, if she becomes president, to a litmus test to see if they bring American jobs and if they support American interests. And she kind of snapped back at Trump a bit, accusing him of exploiting unfair trade practices by China.
Donald has bought Chinese steel and aluminum. In fact, the Trump Hotel right here in Las Vegas was made with Chinese steel. So he goes around with crocodile tears about how terrible it is. But he has given jobs to Chinese steel workers, not American steel workers.
Mr. Trump.
And there were a lot of attacks like that in this debate from both candidates on the record of the others.
And so broadly, we got into trade. We talked something like that. But in general, what are they saying about what their ideas are for growing the economy?
Donald Trump says, and he pushed this really hard, that his combination of tax cuts and renegotiation of trade deals and less regulation was going to boost GDP growth, maybe even up past 4% a year, which most economists say would be a big challenge. Clinton came back a couple of times with what she called her middle-out approach, focusing on the middle class with things like a higher minimum wage.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks very much. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly up in global trading. In the UK, shares up 0.2%. In Germany, shares are up also 0.2%. As for Asian markets, which also always get a little extra attention on presidential debate nights, they close mostly up. Last night's presidential debate started off with talk about what kind of Supreme Court justices each candidate would appoint as president. Those are by far the most high-profile picks any president gets to make, but there will be many other important personnel decisions for the next president, including appointments that impact our economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports from Washington.
I decided to do a little pop quiz for this story on Washington's National Mall by the monuments where tourists congregate. I asked quick, what appointments will the next president make?
All I can think of is just the Supreme Court.
The judge?
I think of the show The West Wing, all the staffers.
That was Jesse Salazar of Salt Lake City, Denise Hames from Birmingham, Alabama, and Andrea Thornton from Nashville. None of them mentioned this, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. You know, the folks who set interest rates. The next president will have to make at least two appointments to the Fed, possibly as many as four.
I don't remember a time off the top of my head where there have been that many openings coming up at the same time.
That's Ken Kuttner, a former Fed economist, now at Williams College. Kuttner says President Obama's nominees to the Fed board were never confirmed by the Senate. So that's two open spaces. The other two could come from some reshuffling at the Fed. And Kuttner says, here's a shocker. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump would appoint very different people. He says with Clinton,
she would certainly be continuing in the Fed's current tradition and pushing a pretty rigorous approach to regulation.
As for Trump, John Canale of LPL Financial says
he's likely to appoint people to the Fed that will likely try to dismantle the Fed, to reduce its power.
Trump has accused the Fed of keeping interest rates low to make President Obama look good. Back on the Mall, Denise Hames from Birmingham, she's a Trump supporter. She likes the low interest rates. Still, she says Trump would make good choices for the Fed appointments.
If I'm voting for him, yes, I am entrusting that he will do that. Yes.
Andrea Thornton from Nashville, she's for Clinton and thinks Clinton would nominate more women and people of color to the Fed board.
I do think that we need a lot more diversity and leadership in this country, and I think that she's clearly committed to that.
Another thing that's clear, the people Clinton or Trump appoint will have to be confirmed by the Senate. On the National Mall in Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, along with the presidency and congressional races also on the ballot in many states, legalizing pot. Voters in 9 states will decide on marijuana legalization, some for medical use, some including recreational use. Ahead of that, there's a new Gallup poll out showing 60% of Americans support legalizing pot. That's an all-time high since they started asking that question in 1969. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.